Let me ask you to find your place in your notes on biblical counseling and community penetration. You know, there's a sense, I think, in which we're trying to accomplish at least three different things with this conference. Obviously, one of them is just to try to equip men and women to be more effective counselors in the settings that we would traditionally think of as counseling in our culture, kind of the one-on-one, one-hour type thing. And so we hope, obviously, that we're helping people become more and more effective in that. We're also hoping that this conference helps men and women grow spiritually themselves. And I think that some folks would view this as a time where, just as a result of concentrated discussion about sanctification, it results in positive spiritual growth for themselves. And if that's the case, then that's certainly a good reason to get together. And we're glad if we ever have that impact on any person or any group of persons. The third impact we're trying to have with this conference really has to do with impacting churches' philosophy of ministry wide. You've heard us say before that there's a difference between having a counseling center and being a counseling center. And being a counseling center, we mean by that taking these twin doctrines of sufficiency of Scripture and biblical progressive sanctification and everything else that goes along with it, and letting it impact and inform everything that's going on in the church. And so there's a sense in which we certainly want these biblical counseling principles, for example, for us to impact the way we do Christian school ministry. That's actually one of the reasons we started a Christian school, was because we wanted these principles to flesh themselves out in the world of education. We certainly want our youth pastor and their teams that have gone through biblical counseling training, so we want it to inform that. We want as many of our children's workers to have received this kind of training, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we want it to flesh out in all we want. I think God wants it to flesh out in all aspects of local church ministry. So there's a difference between having a counseling center and being a counseling center. Well, there's a sense in it, if you agree with me on that, then this particular session is about, well, how do we take biblical counseling and let it impact the way we do outreach? How do we take biblical counseling and let it hit the streets? So instead of just the traditional 1 hour a week thing, especially if it's just being viewed inside the church, how do we let this get out and actually become part of our church's approach to outreach? That's what this particular session is all about. Now, another way just to think about that diagrammatically, if you think about our mission, what it is that we're trying to accomplish, what it is that you're trying to accomplish as a church, our church's mission is to glorify God by winning people to Jesus Christ and equipping them to be more faithful disciples. And so that's what drives us around here. You've probably heard that we're in the middle right now of a strategic planning cycle. Every 5 years, we go through a very specific planning process with our church family. We're in the middle of that right now. We're getting ready to launch a survey to our congregation, another one to our school family, a third one to our community. And so we're going to be doing all sorts of critical analysis in the next couple of months, and we're inviting people to criticize us, and they will. And a fair amount of that probably will be directed at me, and deservedly so. And that's part of growing. That's part of getting to a better place. We'll put all of that criticism online. So we're not going to airbrush it. We'll put it all out there for everybody to see, and then we'll start dreaming, meaning we'll start thinking of what are all the possible planning initiatives, the specific steps we could take over the next 5 years to shore up our weaknesses, to build on our strengths, to get to a better place. Typically, we, as a church family, come up with somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 to 150 specific planning initiatives that we're going to try to accomplish over a five-year period of time, and that drives us. Well, how do we decide? Because frankly, we'll have 600, 700, 800 possible ideas, things that people say, well, what do we do this? What could we do this? What about this? What about this? What about this? Which is all very healthy, by the way. Very, very healthy. But then, how do you decide? How do you boil that down into the ones that you're especially going to try to do? The answer is you run them through the grid of your mission. And so we're trying to be very proactive on the issue of being mission-driven. So folks from our church family who are here could tell you, we encourage them to memorize our mission statement and actually to laminate that thing and have it under their pillow. I mean, we want them to know it that well, because that does. It really does. It drives much of what we do as a church family. So there are a lot of things we don't do. We just don't do. We don't. I'm not interested in it. Don't really want to talk about it because it doesn't fit in with the accomplishment of our mission. Conversely, there's other things we do passionately, relentlessly around here for the same reason, because it does fit in with our mission. And so we want to be a mission-driven church. And however you would say it, I hope you're in a similar vein. You think a lot about what it is that God has called you to do, what it is that would justify your existence on His earth. Well, then, think of it from the other perspective. How do you connect that with your neighborhood? How do you connect that with your community? How do you connect that with your world? In fact, I would encourage you to think about the neighborhood in which your church resides right now. Do you know your neighbors? Do your neighbors know you? Are you penetrating the neighborhood in which God has placed you? Do you know your mayor, for example? Does he know you? Does he know the kind of things that your church does, the kind of resources that you provide? Do you know the editor of the newspaper? Do you know the administrator or the superintendent of the school system? Do you know the judges? Do you know the chief of police, et cetera, et cetera? Do you know the leaders of the various social service providers in your town? How are you? Are you penetrating, getting your mission, connecting your mission with your neighborhood, connecting your mission with your community, connecting your mission with your world? And in many cases, a church on the one hand would be able to articulate their mission, I suppose, and on the other hand, they know where they live, but there's really a disconnect between those two. There's almost an incredible fortress mentality. There's a high wall that holds the mission inside, but the fact of the matter is, in many cases, churches have separated themselves from their communities. Now, I believe in biblical separation, but I don't believe in biblical separation the way that it is taught and practiced in many places today. In fact, I believe many people just took that totally to seed, separated themselves from their communities at the exact same time that a secular world was becoming less and less open to the things of God anyway, so the church practiced separation on steroids and the culture finished the job. And as a result, in many cases, churches are these little fortresses, these little islands, where there's very little connection between, and you can just think about your particular perspective. Now, for this church, historically, our counseling ministry has been one of the connection points. We've always had a community-based biblical counseling center. You'll have to decide if you even agree with that. But the paradigm that we have always followed now for well over 30 years is on Monday, a group of our pastoral staff, several medical doctors from our congregation, then some other key lay people have come together on Mondays, and we provide hours of counseling that are available to people in the community free of charge. And it's been different sizes over the years, but right now there's 24 of us on that staff. So several of our pastoral staff members, several medical doctors, and then some other just good godly lay people come apart from whatever else we're doing. And on Monday, we provide 5-6 hours each of biblical counseling. So depending on our schedules, depending on who's around, we're going to be providing somewhere between 60 and 100 hours of biblical counseling services to people in our town free of charge. And over time, that's part of what's connected our mission, our desire to proclaim the gospel, with people in our town who are hurting. Because frankly, a fair number of people who come to see us from the community, they don't know the Lord. They are as lost as balls in high weeds. In the most technical sense, I want to be careful how I say this, but in the most technical sense, we don't counsel unbelieving people. We evangelize unbelieving people. Now, when I say that, I want to be careful because that could really go to seed too. What I don't mean, as soon as we find out they don't know the Lord, we say, well, then we can't talk about your marriage. We have to talk about the four spiritual laws. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that we're going to use the context of those marriage difficulties as an opportunity to bring them to Christ. And that has historically for this church been a very effective means of outreach. It's been a very effective connection point with our community. For example, if you were to take last year we had about roughly 225 persons become members of this church. And a fair percentage of them were through baptism. And we're really fired up about that. We have zero interest in transfer growth. We're very much interested in conversion growth. That's what we really do care about around here. And so last year, about 225 people became members, a lot of them by baptism. Well, if you went down through that list and asked yourself of each one of those persons, well, what was the contact point?